Good evening, friends. When the history of this Republican convention at Philadelphia is written, perhaps the most important fact about it will be that at this convention, television was for the first time a vital factor in the proceedings. This afternoon, I sat up in the convention hall for a long time watching the proceedings and then went down to see a television broadcast. Well, from most places in the auditorium, it's quite impossible to see any members of any of the state delegations. Just as I started looking at the television screen, they started pulling that Michigan delegation on the second ballot. The camera eye was focused right on the Michigan group, and you could recognize each and every member as the microphone was handed him and as he announced his vote for Senator Vandenberg. We have a couple of guests with us this evening from the Michigan delegation. At least they're here with the Michigan folks. The first gentleman we want to interview is a member of the Michigan delegation. He's a delegate from the 4th Congressional District, Mr. Edward Hutchinson of Fenville. Mr. Hutchinson, I believe that you're a member of the legislature, aren't you?
Yes, Mr. Dunbar. I'm a member of the lower house, a representative from Allegan County.
Are many members of the legislature here at the convention?
Oh, yes, there are several of them. Five or six are members of the delegation itself, and there are several members of the Senate and many members of the House of Representatives here as observers.
Well, now, Mr. Hutchinson, would you tell us what a typical delegate's day is like? What time do you get up? Where do you eat? And how do you spend your time? And when do you go to bed?
Well, Mr. Dunbar, the life of a delegate is pretty well measured and controlled by the sessions of the convention. The first couple of days, I might say our life was pretty regular. We got up at the regular hours of the morning and worked through the day and into the evening and got a good night's rest.
And then on Thursday, things began to change.
But then last night, things began to change. The session didn't break up until 4:15 this morning, and so today has been rather out of kilter.
Well, now, you come back here to the hotel between sessions in most cases. You don't stay out at Convention Hall. How have you found that transportation back and forth? Is that pretty efficient, do you think?
Considering the size of the group to be moved, the city of Philadelphia is to be complimented on the efficient manner in which they do move the convention spectators and the delegations.
Well, now, Mr. Hutchinson, are the expenses of the delegates paid from Michigan here at Philadelphia?
I'm glad you asked that, Mr. Dunbar, because I'm sure that there are many people in the radio audience who believe that they are. However, the fact is that no delegates' expenses are paid. He pays them himself.
Well, how much would you say that it cost a delegate to attend this convention? Have you any rough idea?
I presume that some delegates can get by for $300. Others spend as much as $500, I'm sure.
Is it worth it?
Oh, yes, I think it is, Mr. Dunbar. It's an experience which people interested in politics are desirous of enjoying, and it's well worth it. I am very much pleased to have been selected to come to this convention.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Hutchinson. Now we have another guest, and our time is rapidly getting away. He's Mr. John Martin, who is here from Grand Rapids. Mr. Martin, I believe that you are not a delegate, are you?
No, I'm not a delegate. I'm just an observer, Mr. Dunbar.
Didn't I notice that you brought your lovely wife with you here to Philadelphia?
Yes, I did. She's writing a column for the Grand Rapids Press.
Well, now, just how has this convention impressed you, Mr. Martin?
Well, I thought that the Wilkie Convention in 40 was the greatest I'd ever hoped to see, but this one has outdone it in drama and every other way.
This Taft delegation down here in the Benjamin Franklin Hotel certainly puts on some show, doesn't it?
They put on a big show, but it's a question whether it's the show that counts.
Yes, that always is a question, whether those demonstrations mean very much. Well, what is your interest in politics, Mr. Martin? Have you any active interest in politics at the moment?
Yes, I'm a candidate for the Republican nomination for state senator in the 17th district, Mr. Dunbar. Mm-hmm.
Well, you've certainly had a chance to meet a lot of Republicans down here at Philadelphia, not only from Michigan, but from the rest of the country.
I certainly have. You'd think there were no Democrats alive.
Well, that's true. I'm sorry, Mr. Martin, our time is up. This is Willis Dunbar in Philadelphia, returning you now to our studios. Good evening, friends. I'd like to tell you a little bit about how the Taft supporters have thrown money around this town, plumping for their candidate, and the same is more or less true of the other delegations, except, of course, the supporters of Senator Vandenberg. This afternoon, I've been told, while the convention sessions were in the convention hall were going on, that the Taft sound wagons continued to tour the streets and the Taft band continued to play around the hotel lobbies. Apparently, these musicians had been hired to perform earlier when it was thought the convention would not be in session this afternoon. And so these sound trucks were going around the streets playing to just a few Philadelphians that happened to be around in this terrific heat that has existed here in the city of brotherly love on this Thursday. We have as our guest for this broadcast Mr. John Tuberty, a delegate from the 3rd Congressional District. Mr. Tuberty is a resident of Kalamazoo, manager of the Columbia Hotel, and is certainly known to a great many people out there. Well, John, what would you like to tell the folks back home about the convention?
Well, Dr. Dunbar, the convention has been going off very smoothly under terrific heat and all-night sessions. And most of the sessions have lasted. For instance, last night we didn't get back to the hotel about 5 o'clock, and of course you have to have some further sessions in your rooms.
Let's see, that was Wednesday night, wasn't it?
That was Wednesday night.
Yes. And got those nomination speeches all made before you finally came home.
That's right.
Well, what do you think of Philadelphia as a convention city? As a hotel man, you ought to have some reactions on that, Mr. Tuberty.
Well, I think that there are a lot of cities that would be more desirable than Philadelphia. We have, particularly our delegation, there's several of them housed in outlying hotels with no particular accommodations and places not kept up with the keeping in which they'd like to have hotel rooms. So it has been rather awkward to take care of the people.
There are lots of better places in the country, perhaps Chicago or New York, in which you hold a convention.
I prefer Chicago by all means. They have hotels there big enough to take in practically half the whole convention.
Well, Mr. Tuberty, I've often wondered if a delegate got any telephone calls or letters or personal communications of any sort from back home before he left for the convention, telling him how his constituents would like to have him vote.
Yes, in personal contacts with the people back home, they all expressed their desire naturally for Senator Vandenberg. And that was seemed to be the tone of everybody talking regarding the convention. It was all Vandenberg. And Vandenberg, as you know, we have Michigan has cast their ballots for him on the two ballots that have been proposed.
Well, now, Mr. Tuberty, have you noticed that there are a lot of youngsters around this convention? It seems to me that there are a surprising number of teenagers in the various delegations, particularly down here at the Taft headquarters.
That's right. The Taft headquarters and the Dewey headquarters just seem to be loaded with youngsters, and naturally they're here for a purpose. They're distributing literature and running errands and carrying play cards and one thing and another. It's amazing the number of kids that are working the convention.
They seem to be very nice youngsters, clean-cut, wholesome boys and girls.
That's right, they all are nice, clean-cut kids.
I was told that the Taft organization had some clubs formed called the 20s for Taft, and I think, don't you, that shows the effectiveness of long-term organization in anything like this, rather than any hasty preparation.
That's true, it does. And by the way, our senator, we have no organization been proposed for him. We just took him cold on Wednesday and started to shape up an organization for him, but it hasn't been effective.
Well, it's pretty hard to make it effective, certainly, on such short notice.
That's very true.
Well, thank you very much for being with us, Mr. Tuberty. Have you any comments on the possibilities for the vice presidency?
No, I think that will shape up this evening. There are deals going on at the present time. Mr. Dewey is short a few ballots, and that probably will be worked out in some other deals.
Well, thank you, Mr. Tuberty. I'd like to explain to our listeners that this broadcast was recorded last evening between the two sessions of the convention and just before the evening session at 7:30 when the presidential nomination was made. And now this is Willis Dunbar in Philadelphia, returning you now to our studios. We have with us for this broadcast one of these young people who are attending the Republican National Convention here at Philadelphia. And this young fellow is from Vicksburg, Michigan. He's a student at Kalamazoo College, and he's down here with a couple of other friends of his, one fellow from Albion College and another one from Kalamazoo College, attending this national convention. Gene, who are the other fellows that I mentioned that are down here? What are their names?
Well, Dick Stiles is a fellow that I came down here with from Kalamazoo, Michigan, and John Cartwright from Albion We met down here after we had already gotten here.
I see. Where are you staying here in Philadelphia?
We're staying at the Nu Sigma Nu Fraternity House of Jefferson Medical College.
Is that fairly near the hotels?
It is. It's only about five blocks from the hotels.
Well, now, Gene, how did you happen to make up your minds to come down here to Philadelphia?
Oh, I guess it was a couple of months ago when we had a convention at Kalamazoo College, and it was a tremendous success, and a few of us got our heads together and decided to come to Philadelphia this spring.
Well, that's very interesting. I remember that model convention at Kalamazoo College. It was certainly a very successful event. Incidentally, who did you support in that convention, Gene?
Well, in that convention, I was helped the campaign manager with Governor Warren from California, and I gave his nominating speech and was state chairman of the California delegation.
And so I suppose you've been very interested in watching the proceedings of the California delegation here at Philadelphia.
I certainly have. I stayed all through the nominating speeches last night and was especially interested in Warren's nominating speech and the demonstration given by the delegation.
Let's see, who was it that nominated Governor Warren?
As a matter of fact, I don't remember just who it was at the present time.
I think that was an educator, Mr. Sproul from California.
Yes, I know it was. I believe he was a president of a university.
Yes,
the university
I believe
there,
so. I have understood that was a very effective speech. I was out of the auditorium at the time it was given. Did you happen to hear it?
I heard it, yes, and that was the first speech that I believe I was really impressed by because it was quite down to earth and it was well done. I liked the speech very much.
Well, now, what have your reactions to this whole scene down here at Philadelphia been? I mean, what does it do to your conception of democracy and the way democracy works, Gene?
Well, first of all, it has given me a great deal of interest. It has stimulated my interest in the procedure of our government and the way it works and so forth, and it has given me the feeling that I want to learn more about it. It's democratic, I will say that. Of course, there probably could be a few arguments on that, but democratic as it could possibly be, and as far as I'm concerned, what it has done to me is actually just stimulate my interest and make me more interested in politics and government.
You think that's fairly typical of these large numbers of young people who are attending the convention?
I think it is. The majority of us down here are law students or pre-law students, and of course we are vitally interested in government anyway, and I believe that most of them feel the same way about it.
Sometimes one hears that young people are their ideals are shattered by watching a proceeding such as this where practical politics and horse trading, as they call it, plays such a vital role. Do you think there's anything to that, Gene?
Well, it hasn't impressed me that way. I don't know. After talking with these other fellows, I don't believe that it has had any such effect on them because most of us are fairly mature. We're in our 20s, and we know that you can't expect certain things in politics, and I don't think that it has shattered any ideals we have had.
Well, thank you very much, Gene. Our time is just about up. This is Willis Dunbar in Philadelphia, returning you now to our studios.